The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
If you know me, I want to hoop. That's just how I am. I'm just a hooper.
And the NBA is back. Zion Williamson, it goes and one. Strong finish. An explosion. Zion, razzle dazzle.
He can't get much more efficient or effective than Zion Williamson has been.
Time to let's get it restarted, my friend. These two teams, the cream of the Western Conference.
Kawhi with a drive.
Whoa!
The battle of LA is real.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into First Take. Thank you so much for hanging with us. Stephen A. Smith, Max Kellerman, I'm Molly Karen Rose. It almost felt like the good old days last night, guys. How amazing. Two incredible games decided by 2 points. Let's get right into it, and we begin with the Battle of LA. Of course, James go-ahead basket with 12 seconds left gave the Lakers a thrilling 103-101 win over the Clippers that moved the Lakers closer to clinching the number one seed in the West. They are now 6.5 games ahead of the Clippers with 7 games remaining. Lou Williams, Montrezl Harrell did not play for the Clips. LeBron doing LeBron things. Here's the King after that win.
I love having the ball in my hands, you know, late in the game, tie game, being down, being up. You know, we had a 3-point game with like 40 seconds to go. We got a great look for Danny. He missed it. Paul George came back and hit a 3 to tie the game. And for me, just try to, you know, be aggressive. You know, I feel like I got some contact at the elbow, by Marcus Morris. I didn't call it, but, you know. Like you was told when you was a kid, you know, just to start playing basketball, if there's no whistle, you keep playing on. So I was able to follow my shot and, put us up for good.
Let's get it. Stephen A., what stood out to you most from this thriller?
Max Kellerman. I'm not feeling good this morning, Max. I'm not feeling good. We've religiously talked about this topic. I've always conceded the Lakers were not the best team. It was the Clippers, but I've got the Lakers winning the championship because I don't believe that two of the top five players on the planet Earth should be losing in the NBA Finals or should be derailed from capturing an NBA championship. Last night, even though it's been a hiatus, even though it's been a break, Max, even though we get to look at the fact that, you know what, they've been gone, everybody rusty and all of this other stuff, does not matter to me. Last night was the first time I looked at the Lakers and I said, I don't like this. I don't like their chances right now. Because I think about Montrezl Harrell and Lou Williams being gone and the fact that it took LeBron and AD playing 34, 35 minutes respectively in this contest to come down to the nail biter that it was. I watched the Lakers shoot worse from 3-point range. I watched the Lakers shoot worse from the field. I watched LeBron James, even though, again, he's rusty and all of this other stuff, he'll be significantly better. But I'm just thinking about the offense that Lou Williams brings to the table, even though he's compromised defensively. I'm thinking about the physicality Montrezl Harrell brings to the table, where Anthony Davis may not look the way that he looked last night. And for the first time, Max Kellerman, for the first time, I find myself very, very concerned. Even though, again, I always felt that the Clippers were the deeper and the more talented team, my attitude is they don't have LeBron and AD. That can overcome everything. Last night, Max, was the first time I found myself significantly nervous about those prospects. I'm not comfortable with what I saw, Max. I'm not comfortable.
Well, as usual, we're on the opposite ends of things, because before yesterday's show, or during yesterday's show, before this game, you were talking about the Lakers, and I was pro Clippers in terms of what we thought about their chances. Who was big on, you know, in crunch time, right? I'll take Kawhi over LeBron. You take LeBron over Kawhi. Stephen A., you're right about everything you said. I think the Clippers are the better team, and they showed that. They weren't nearly at full strength. When they've been at full strength this year, what are they, 10-1? They said the stat during the game. They almost never lose one loss on the season when at full strength. And by the way, Shamet is not going to make the negative contributions he made. You just take him out of the game, the Clippers probably still win. Rushing shots, missing shots, turning the ball over. He was terrible. Yeah. And he's a nice little player normally, nice little contributor. So I get everything you're saying, but the takeaway from last night, Stephen A., has to be, if we're just being honest emotionally about what that game was about, was LeBron James in crunch time. I'm here to say it. I'm man enough to admit it. I'll still take Kawhi in crunch time, you know, most often. I'll take them in the playoffs. Like, show me you do that in playoffs against Kawhi, LeBron. But last night, Stephen A., before the half, in a close game, a game that was wide one way, wide, a little game of runs, and then it tightened up, and at the half, LeBron accepted the challenge. This is something you always talk about. Some dudes, like LeBron, always making the correct basketball play. But sometimes in a larger sense, the correct basketball play is accepting the challenge of the other team's superstar, especially when you play the same position. And LeBron took him defensively at the end of the half and stopped him. And then, at the end of the game, Stephen A., the takeaway from this game for me is LeBron James following his own miss for the go-ahead bucket. And then on the other hand, on the other end, first stopping Kawhi, and he gave the ball up to Paul George, and then stopping Paul George. That was championship stuff by LeBron. Unfortunately for him, it happens in the restart of the regular season in a game that, other than psychologically, the psychological impact is largely meaningless for the Lakers. But Stephen A., at the end of that game, LeBron did not have a great game by his standards. AD was the best player on the floor for them. And Kawhi had a better game than LeBron overall. But when it mattered most, that man took the shot, followed the miss, showing more will in the moment of truth. And then on the other end, stopped their two best stars from scoring. I mean, like, Kawhi had to give the ball up. That was great stuff from LeBron. That was my takeaway. He was the king last night.
Well, listen, I'll give him more credit for the defensive plays against Kawhi and Paul George than it was for the offensive putback, because I thought that was a poor shot that he took that ultimately he followed because nobody boxed out, which is why Doc Rivers was disgusted. But what I will also say to you is this. Ladies and gentlemen, alert. Paul George is healthy. He dropped 30 last night. We know that Paul George is capable of that. We've been talking so much about Kawhi and LeBron and Anthony Davis because Paul George wasn't one of those three that we forgot this brother is a bona fide star in this league. And this dude can get stuff done. We've seen Paul George perform in big moments time and time again. Last night doesn't even qualify because it was just a return to the NBA regular season. But I'm telling you right now, because of the shoulder surgery, the health that he is enjoying, he's not, you know, just stymied by injuries and things of that nature, combined with Kawhi Leonard, you know, exercising load management and what have you. When they've been on the floor together, we know what they're capable of doing. What I'm saying is, that Paul George last night, if that Paul George is like that in the playoffs, I'm going to sit up here and be like, is the Clippers.
The history of the league is.
Because I don't know. What the hell can they do about that? What can they do about that?
The history of the league is two savage two-way wings are the best things you can have. Jordan and Pippen. And eventually, and especially if Wade would have been in his prime still, but he was still an all-star, LeBron and Wade. Good luck stopping that when those guys are firing on all cylinders. Kawhi and Paul George are in their primes and hungry. They're thirsty for that chip. And you could see Paul George, he got the 30, and we showed some of those, you know, not so easy buckets, but it felt like an easy 30 to me at times. When he got hot from three to narrow the gap and eventually give the Clippers the lead.
It is easy for him.
It was like an easy 30.
It is easy for him, number one. Number two, one of the reasons why I was comfortable picking the Lakers is because I'm looking at Kawhi Leonard and the load management. I'm looking at Paul George knowing that he wasn't 100% healthy. I'm looking at the lack of chemistry and cohesiveness that they were going to be able to enjoy because you had to work them in to the situation throughout the regular season. Remember, the season's supposed to be over by now. It's July 31st. The season was supposed to be over a month and a half ago. Had that been continuing, still health might have been compromised. You never know with those guys. And as a result, who knows what would have transpired. Right now, with him being healthy, it is scary to watch. Because let me tell you something. Kawhi had a good game, but you almost didn't need it. I mean, the way that Paul George was flowing right now, he can handle the ball. He can defend on. He can defend. And he can hit threes. It's not like the brother can't hit threes. Both of them can hit threes.
Great player.
And the Lakers are obviously a big team that will rim protect and win at the rim. But Montrezl Harrell is going to have something to say about that as well, particularly since he's playing for a new contract. I'm not going to jump off the boat with the Lakers, but I'm telling you right now, to come back and to be without Harrell and to be without Lou Williams and to require that in order to win the game concerns me. And Lou Will, that's right.
Lou Will, I mean, come on. Lou Williams offensively is just about as good as anyone. Look, Paul George, you know when I say, hey, if KD can come back as 80% of what he was, they could chip up in Brooklyn. When I think of 80% of what he was, I think of Paul George. Paul George is not just a normal all-star. He's not an MVP quite, but he's an upper echelon all-star. The one thing I'll say about the Lakers, for Lakers fans, and I am one, and I was encouraged by this. The Clippers, I think they're a better team. I think Kawhi is the best player in the world. In spite of LeBron's heroics last night, I'd rather have Kawhi at the end of the game than anyone in the NBA. All that said, I saw a Lakers team where LeBron was orchestrating an offense early, and then when he needed to one-on-one, took over the game late. And I saw a Clippers team, a lot of ISO. LeBron has this thing going in a way where if they are firing on all cylinders, the Lakers could very well win a championship this year. It could happen. I still like the Clippers, but I saw that if you can conduct the orchestra the way LeBron was doing it, and then when they need you most, when it's not going your way, take over the way LeBron was willing to, both ends of the floor, you can win a championship.
I still like the Lakers. I just don't like the fact that it required all of that without Lou Williams and Harrell on the floor. I don't like that at all. It should not have required all of that to beat the Los Angeles Clippers last night. I know Patrick Beverley came back after his 4-day quarantine. I know that Kawhi and Paul George were still there. But considering the Lakers' size, the Lakers' athleticism, and the greatness of LeBron and Anthony Davis, to me, it should not have required that in order to squeeze out a victory against the Clippers last night. I don't like that.
Gotta like what you got from Deion Waiters, though, Stephen A.
Yeah, that's good. Him no or JR. One or the other has to produce each game.
For sure.
Waiters,
by the way, guys,
like
we'll get to see both teams Saturday on ESPN. It's going to be Lakers, Raptors, and Clippers, Pelicans. We'll have much more on this game later. Jay Williams, Kendrick Perkins will join us. Meanwhile, hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture X Card. Earn unlimited 2X miles on everything you buy and turn everyday purchases into extraordinary trips. Plus, receive premium travel benefits like access to over 1,300 airport lounges and a $300 annual credit for bookings through Capital One Travel. Unlock a whole new world of travel with a Capital One Venture X Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. Lounge access is subject to change. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Today's game between the Milwaukee Brewers and St. Louis Cardinals in Milwaukee has been postponed after the Cardinals had multiple positive coronavirus tests, sources telling our Jeff Passan, who will be with us momentarily. MLB's quick decision to postpone Friday's game comes after the outbreak with the Miami Marlins. One source told our Jesse Rogers that if what is happening with the Cardinals has occurred before the Marlins outbreak, Friday's game would still be scheduled. The Cardinals' positives represent the first positive test the sport has seen outside of the East Coast since the regular season started last week. Now we bring in MLB insider Jeff Passan. Jeff, thank you so much for being with us here. And when you were with us, Jeff, live on Monday's show, I was not surprised by the outbreak you had reported amongst the Miami Marlins, being that Miami's the epicenter. And then I was curious, what's going to happen with the Phillies? Because they played the Phillies. There's not the same type of contact like in football. Would there be transmission? And now we know two staff members on the Phillies have tested positive. And now this in Arizona, obviously that state also a hot spot. Jeff, where are we? Is this season really going to charge on?
It's tough to say at this point, Molly. Major League Baseball seems resolute in the idea that it is going to push forward through these tests and continue on. But clearly, by postponing tonight's game in Milwaukee, which was supposed to be the Brewers' home opener against the St. Louis Cardinals, they are showing, at least for the time being, a different tack on what exactly it takes to get them to postpone a game. And yet we look at this, Molly, and look at the fallout that comes from, you know, a single, or in this case, two positive coronavirus tests. You lose the game with Milwaukee against the St. Louis Cardinals. There are questions about the Minnesota Twins, who last played the Cardinals, and they're in Cleveland right now. And oh, by the way, they played last night, so who knows what happens there. You have six other teams on the East Coast whose schedules have been affected by this. That's two teams with positive coronavirus tests, 10 teams that are affected. And the spider web effect here that seems to be just running through baseball is the big problem. It's not that it's just two teams. It's that all of the teams are interconnected.
Well, Jeff, thank you for being on the show. It's not difficult for me to say, Max Kellerman, Jeff Passan, season's over. Now, inevitably, that's what I view. I'm sorry to be so pessimistic. Season's over. This season is not going to be completed. I'm going to predict that MLB season will be canceled sooner than later. Here is why. There's no bubble. And I blame the players for this, because the players are always the last to the party. It doesn't matter. I don't care. Look at any kind of labor strife that has ever existed. Look at anything that's involved the players versus the owners. Think about the steroids ever, for crying out loud. So many things could have been alleviated throughout the years if baseball had grabbed the bull by the horn and marched forward. Nope. They want to hold on to tradition. They want to hold on to their standards, policing themselves, doing things their way, ignoring the rest of society. And there you have it. We have a global pandemic going on. These guys don't have to be constricted to a bubble. They're traveling. We don't know what they're doing when they're not playing, but then they come around each other and play. And because two guys test positive, you're postponing games. I mean, unless you're going to have a whole bunch of doubleheaders going on every single day, for crying out loud, it's just not going to wash. And last but not least, remember, guys, the players wanted, correct me if I'm wrong, Jeff, you would know this a hell of a lot better than me. The players wanted at least 82 games, if not 100 games, all right? The owners were stuck on 60. They tried to capitulate to about 75, 76 games. The owners were stuck on 60. What was the reason, the rationale? They were saying, we want the season to finish at a certain time because, and as a result, this is the way that they're going. Well, if you've got these postponements, how is the season ever going to be finished at the time that Rob Manfred and others said they wanted the season finished? I don't see how this is going to work. You should have been in a bubble, because you're not. The bottom line is, I anticipate Major League Baseball, this season will be canceled sooner than later.
We see some of this the same way and some of it differently, Stephen A. On the one hand, most of the issues between labor and ownership in the history of baseball have been ownership's fault, period. However, occasionally, it is the players' union's fault. And in this case, I thought you made it sound like it's you. Whenever there's been strife, it's been the issue of the labor has been the issue.
No, I didn't mean
in fact, in this case, I agree with you. I think that the players' union resisted, from everything I understand, a bubble. The idea that they thought they were going to have an even longer season than 60 games with no bubble. Every member of the players' union who thought that it was fake news, the coronavirus, or that they could manage this, that was an idiotic decision. This is very real. I wonder, Jeff, if it's possible, and Stephen A., I also agree, without a bubble, even with a bubble, many sports may not be able to have a season or complete a season. Without a bubble, 0% chance. That goes for the NFL. That certainly goes for college football. It goes for baseball, too. But, Jeff, I wonder, is there any compromise in the offing in the sense that, because already, Manfred, well, we have to change our protocols. Really, already? I thought you said this is not a nightmare scenario. I thought you said you had all these things planned. All of a sudden, you're changing your protocols already? Would they go at a certain point to winning percentage instead of, and so everyone wouldn't have the same number of games won and lost, so you don't have to make up all these games? Already they're going to 7 innings for doubleheaders. And is it possible, do you think, to sell the players' union on, hey guys, as soon as this season is over, we go to bubble for playoff format, and the season may not be 60 games? Are any of those changes feasible, do you think?
Max, the fact that they've gone to 7-inning doubleheaders, I think illustrates that anything is possible at this point. The fact that the Yankees and the Orioles are playing right now shows that anything is possible. A schedule is not a schedule. Rules are not rules. Baseball in 2020 is chaos right now, and all they're trying to do as best they can is get to October. Now, is that feasible? Is that realistic at this point? It doesn't feel that way, because here we are a little more than a week into the season. You've got a catastrophic outbreak, and I don't think you can term it any other way. 18 now of the 33 Miami Marlins players who are traveling with the team have tested positive for COVID-19. You've got another team in the St. Louis Cardinals that has 2 positive tests, but remember, we're early on in the incubation period. It's possible that there is going to be an outbreak on that team, too. They traveled from Minneapolis to Milwaukee. We don't know what the safety is on planes at this point. I mean, there are so many questions about the season. And when you contrast that with what the NBA's got going on right now, do you guys feel like there are many questions about the NBA right now? It just feels, and maybe it's a nope. false sense of security, but it feels like the bubble is actually pretty safe compared to, well, certainly compared to what Major League Baseball has, but pretty safe compared to just society writ large, that they're testing, that they've got contact tracing in place if something happens, that they've got protocols that are working.
Well, let's understand, Jeff, because, you, for example, you bring up contact tracing. Let's understand something here. You're in the bubble. You can't leave without anybody knowing. And you can't get back in without anybody knowing. So because of that reality, all of a sudden, if you've left for any reason, that's being chronicled. When you try to come back, obviously, there's a period where you've got to quarantine yourself, that kind of stuff. If you are Major League Baseball and you have none of that in place, how in God's name does that make any sense in this day and age with a global pandemic going on, that you wouldn't have any kind of restrictions whatsoever, as it entails player movement and player exposure? It's beyond mind-boggling. Really is.
Here, this is what it is. The smart people in sports, this goes for Dana White with Fight Island, Top Rank Boxing, ESPN has a bubble, NHL, NBA. They're successfully staging events and having seasons, it seems, because they've done what is necessary. They've made the necessary sacrifices. The dumb people, or at least people who are making dumb decisions, will not finish their leagues, most likely. That goes for Major League Baseball, the NFL, and college football. You either follow the models that work, or your seasons will very likely end in disaster because they will end prematurely.
Jeff Passan, we got to let you go. Thank you so much for this latest update. And as Stephen A. said earlier, he said it kind of for all of us here, that we believe the season is ultimately over at this point.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast.
We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Brightside breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com. Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
The hardest thing that happened to me in the game today was kneeling for 2 minutes. Like, my knee hurt. And in the middle of it, I'm thinking, in 2 minutes, my knee is hurting. Yet there was a guy that had his knee on someone's neck for 8 minutes. Think about that. The national anthem took 2 minutes. There were guys that needed towels and things to get under their knees. And yet someone kneeled on another human being's neck for 8 minutes. That's nuts when you think about it. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Doc Rivers referring to the murder of George Floyd, making the kneeling, which begun with Colin Kaepernick, even more powerful imagery. All the players and coaches kneeled in unison, arm in arm during the anthem, a beautiful, powerful tribute to all those suffering from social inequities in our country and abroad. Commissioner Adam Silver released a statement and said he respects teams' unified acts of peaceful protest and will not enforce the longstanding rule requiring standing during the playing of our national anthem. Let's not forget Breonna Taylor was murdered 4 months ago and her killers are still walking the streets. We bring in Jay Williams now of NBA Countdown. Jay, I know it's a big day for you, a lot of games ahead. We'll get you in just a moment. Max, I'll start with you. What's your reaction to the players kneeling?
Well, Howard Bryant here at ESPN just tweeted, tweeted just now. Just call it for what it is. Kneeling is a safe gesture now. No risk, no sanction. When it was a risk, very few people took it. And I agree. I get the sense that this is a safe place for people now. But I would say that there's an old story, I don't know if it's true or not, about Khrushchev when he took over after Stalin. And there was a government meeting at which, and Stalin's crimes were being enumerated. And Khrushchev is talking about it, and someone from the audience yells, "Where were you when all this stuff was going on?" And he bangs the podium and says, "I demand to know who said that." And this is the Soviet Union. No one has any rights. "I demand to know who said that. Who said it?" Silence. And he says, "I, comrade, were where you are right now." When it is safe now to kneel, and it wasn't not that long ago. And that's because real leadership, most people are not leaders, not everyone's a leader. Real leadership requires real sacrifice, the kind that Colin Kaepernick showed. And because of that sacrifice, and of course it had to then be followed by a pandemic and very unusual circumstances for all this to happen. Nevertheless, it still required that kind of sacrifice and leadership. And I'm all I can say, and I think Howard Bryant has a point, is that I'm very glad that kneeling like that is a safe place now. It doesn't need to prove to me that everyone who kneels is willing to make some sacrifice. I'm actually much, forget about critiquing that, I'm much happier that we at least temporarily, at least at this moment in place and time, right, exist in an environment where it is actually a safe place to say Black Lives Matter, that doesn't require at this moment sacrifice. I wasn't sure I'd ever live to see it in my lifetime, yet at least temporarily, here we are.
I wanted to commend and applaud both teams last night and the NBA as a whole for recognizing the power in the platform and really capitalizing on the moment, showing unity in that embrace. You know, there was that epic picture last night of LeBron James with his fist up in the air and standing and constantly bringing to attention some of the systemic injustices that are happening in our country is something that I think these NBA players, WNBA players, and athletes across the world have done an incredible job. I also, last night, on listening to the TNT broadcast with Charles Barkley, he made a really interesting comment. And I took to Twitter last night to really stand by it. You know, he said, it's incredible to see the unity that NBA players have collectively on this platform. But at the same time, if you do not kneel, that does not make you a bad person, nor should people vilify you if you choose not to kneel. Now, why I tweeted last night that I firmly stand by Charles Barkley's statements is I have Black friends who have served in the military. They did not find it disrespectful to what Colin Kaepernick did, but they also decided that they still want to stand because of people that they've lost in respective wars that they fought with side by side, countless souls that were lost. So they choose to have their fight in a different way. And I just want to give this to everybody out there because it caused a really interesting reaction last night to hear people who are extreme on both sides start to fight about the comment by saying the people that were quick to jump on Colin Kaepernick for utilizing his platform and spreading his word, I just want to make sure that we're not going to be hypocritical and sit there and say, because somebody else chooses not to kneel, that we're going to vilify them and we're going to make them out to be bad people. And now, look, I'm not advocating for systemic racism and people that decide to stand for that. Not at all. I'm a Black man. I understand that the words of Black Lives Matter, what it means, even though I would question to a degree some of the fine print if you look on their website for some of the things that Black Lives Matter, the political movement, stands for. But I do want to say that having my friends in the military pose that argument to me multiple times, the one thing that we have to make sure that we have, guys, we have to continue to evolve the way we think. And we can't combat extremism with extremism. I'll leave it to that, Stephen A.
Right. The minority should always be protected from the tyranny of the majority.
I'm with you, Max.
All right.
I have to admit that, go ahead, Molly, what'd you say?
No, go ahead. You know what, Stephen A., it's just the delay feels extra long today. So sometimes I feel the pause. I don't know if you guys are done or you want to say something else. So please go ahead.
For me personally, I have to openly confess that this is not a subject that I enjoy. And the reason why, by that I mean it's not an enjoyable subject to be honest with you, because anytime we've got to talk about racial oppression, racial inequality, or anything of that ilk, the reality is that, again, the fact that we have to talk about it means it exists, which means that it's a blemish, a significant blemish on our society. Having said all of that, I think the thing that really, really irks my nerves is that I want to sit up there and give the players all the credit in the world for kneeling, the players, the coaches, team personnel, everybody took a knee, and that's fine. And obviously nobody should be insulted for that. They did the right thing as far as I'm concerned, because Colin Kaepernick had a right to do it. Not only did he not violate any laws, it was within his constitutional right. And more importantly, the NFL didn't have a policy mandating that you couldn't kneel for the national anthem, so he was never in violation of even any NFL bylaws. To me, that's when I look at protests that take place last night and I address it with just mixed emotions. On one hand, I want to applaud the players, LeBron and everybody else in between, for taking the stance that they took. On the other hand, I want to say, where the hell were you back in 2016, 2017? I mean, you're talking about guys, usually when people are a bit reluctant to take positions, it's because they take into account the ramifications, guys, okay? And whether we like it or not, When you talk about provoking real change, it usually involves real sacrifice. So we get all of that, okay? Some people are willing to make those sacrifices, some people are not. What I'm looking at these players and saying to myself is this, what sacrifice really would it have been for you to take that position back then if you were so supportive of Colin Kaepernick's position? The reality is that we're talking about, at least when it pertains to the stars in the NBA, LeBron James is close to a billionaire. Steph Curry is making over $200 million. Russell Westbrook making over $200 million. I mean, Kyrie's at $140 million. Dwight Howard has made over $235 million in his career. The list goes on and on and on. And so when we talk about the sacrifice, when it comes to these particular players, you might have suffered to some degree from the PR perspective. But outside of that, was your quality of life going to be compromised? Chances are, absolutely not. And so when I see something like yesterday, I'm saying, look, where were you then? Because listen, I was on the record back in 2016. Listen, I applaud Colin Kaepernick's right to do it. I wouldn't have done that. That's not a position that I would have taken. And I maintain that position to this day. It hasn't changed. But if I was going to take a knee today, I would have took a knee back in 2016 or 2017 because the actions that were exercised against them were so flagrantly biased, were so flagrantly prejudiced that you wonder, how could you not stand up for him? I mean, we've been on the air, Max, you too, JU as well, and others. We are like, wait a minute, the NFL is blackballing this man? How do you blackball this man when he violated nothing? And I remember I was arguing with a couple of conservative radio hosts, Max. I was like, the man kneeled before the game. He kneeled during the game. He didn't interrupt your entertainment, your competition or whatever. While you were singing the national anthem, he was kneeling. That's all. Now, I don't understand that. And so for me, for folks not to come, I mean, I'm not saying they didn't come to his defense because plenty of NBA players spoke out on behalf of him. I'm just saying if you feel compelled to take a knee now, if that is your symbolic gesture, there was nothing stopping you from taking that same symbolic gesture years ago when it was harder. That's all I'm saying.
He also, real quick, Jay, he also took a knee, Kaepernick, in the first place because originally he sat. There was no rule against sitting. Participation should not be mandatory. Everyone says he politicized it. No, actually, if by sitting you're making a statement that's political, then by standing you also are. So, in fact, the political statement's already being made by having the ceremony. If dissent is prohibited, then it's an even worse political statement you're making. You're saying nationalism, forget about patriotism. Love your country no matter what, instead of wanting your country to actually live up to its ideals. He took a knee because sitting offended Nate Boyer, who we've had on this show. And Nate met with Kaepernick and said, hey, let me just tell you why I'm offended by this. But and Colin Kaepernick explained what he was doing. And they had a meeting of the minds and hearts and said, well, what is there something that we can do here where you can be a conscientious objector to this ceremony and make your protest and also do it in a way that feels respectful to others who may not understand what you're doing? And they came up with taking a knee. Taking a knee has always been a gesture of respect. In fact, there is a Major League Baseball player who said he didn't want to take a knee because of his faith. And because that would be worshiping or taking a knee before a false idol, whatever, something like that, and therefore didn't want to do that. I respect that. But the idea is to do it in a respectful way. The fact that Kaepernick was drummed out of the NFL for doing that is outrageous. The fact that he still doesn't have even an opportunity to play in the NFL is an ongoing outrage. But the fact that whether or not it's the safe place, whether or not they had the courage to support him once upon a time, that those followers, not the leaders, but the people who have to wait to see which way the wind is blowing, are now taking a knee, tells me that the environment has changed sufficiently for kneeling and saying Black Lives Matter, for example, is the safe place. That should be celebrated.
I agree, Max, and I would say this. I'd rather people come to the party late than not come at all. And it's kind of easy to retrospectively be a Monday morning quarterback and look at this and say, I wish that other guys would have stepped up to the platform before and helped out. But Stephen A., I will point this out, and I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of athletes about this. You know, especially in the NFL, the NBA is interesting because it's a little bit more progressive and players are allowed to have their face. But as it relates to the NFL, just know that a lot of these owners that were following the lead of how this whole thing got politicized, that they thought it put the revenue of the NFL in jeopardy. A lot of players seriously recognize that a lot of Caucasian owners are the ones writing their checks. And if they see that, if they see how easily that they were able to blackball a guy like Colin Kaepernick, it made a lot of people apprehensive. And I get how we can sit up here on TV and say, I wish a lot more people would have risen up to the occasion. But at the same time, to put yourself in those individual shoes about what they're going through, they still have their families they need to support. They still have other people they need to support. I just think that's a very, difficult, arduous place just to call out people for that reason, I say. I really do.
Well, with all due respect, Jay, that's the business that we in, bro. And if you don't want to call people out, then you might be in the wrong business. And I know you're not in the wrong business
because you will call people out. I'm just finished saying
you are in the right business, which means you're going to find yourself, particularly with your new morning show that's coming up, you're going to find yourself engaging in revisionist history and calling people out for certain things. Why are we talking about these players right now? Because it happened last night. It's not like we haven't said it. Max is a living witness. Molly is a living witness. We have been on this show in the past saying the same exact things about doing things that are unpopular, about doing things that might involve sacrifice. But because you're in a lofty position where the sacrifice might not impact you the way that it would impact other people, this is why folks feel compelled to say, okay, guys, stand up. Because you're not going to suffer the way somebody else would suffer. If somebody's got to worry about their next check next week, we don't want them in that position. But if somebody don't have to worry about checks into perpetuity, for crying out loud, it might behoove you to take that position when it's unpopular, because we might not have gotten to a point where we have to address this issue now. There's nothing wrong with that.
I wish we had more time because I would keep this discussion going. Next time, though, SA, I'm with you. I hear what you're saying.
We can come back. We can come back to it.
Oh, yeah, we can come back. We can come back to it. I'm here.
Is that what we want to do? You want to come
back? We'll be back.
You guys want to come back?
Damn right.
We'll get into this a little bit later. Jay, stick around. We got a little football to get into.
Okay.
We'll come back to you a little bit later. Glad we're calling an audible on that one. Let me get in a commercial break.